Alright. Alles schloss tatsächlich.
Aber we're on TV.
So, we look at Parshas Tetzaveh. Let us just glance carefully, but briefly, at the parasha and get a little overview of what we have in this exception. So, you know what? I'll even put it on the board, much like we did last week. So, tell me what we have here. What's the first thing we discuss in the parasha? Big day kahuna. Good. What comes next? You got to flip.
The dedication.
So we got lots of big day kahuna. Plenty of big day kahuna. And then...
dedication of
the Mishkan. Okay, right. Dedication of?
Mishkan.
At the Mishkan. What do we have? Starting from Ravi.
Of the Kohanim.
Now that they're ready to go, we've got the things that we do avodah with. We've got the Mishkan. We've got the big day kahuna. So this is the inauguration, or the instructions for the inauguration of the kahuna. Okay? Hakdashat Hakohanim. Okay, good. So there's a whole ceremony to inaugurate the Kohanim into the service of the Mishkan. Okay, what comes after that? That also takes a while. Revi, Chamishin. Okay, even Shishi. Before the Mizbeach Hazav, I take it back, not Shishi. Shishi is already a new Inyan. What's the discussion in Shishi? Which Karbonis in particular?
Tami?
No. The Karbon Tami. That's right. Karbon Tami. And finally, at the end of the parasha, what do we have? Yeah. Mizbeach Hazav. That's right. Mizbeach Hazav. Okay. What's the Mizbeach Hazav? It's a little mizbeach of zav, on which was burned the kataris. Normally translated as incense. The kataris is burned every single day, and on mizbeach there are two mizbechos, as you know, right? Let's demonstrate. We'll make a little model over here. This is the Mishkan. We did this last week too, right? This is the Kodesh HaKodashim. This is the actual Mishkan, the rest of the Mishkan. And all around it is the Chatzer. Okay. Where is the Mizbeach? We normally think of when we say Mizbeach. Mizbeach HaOlad, we bring the Karbanos on. That's in the Chatzer. That's the Mizbeach HaOlad. Okay. Mizbeach HaNechoshes. And what's in the Mishkan itself? Well, we have the Kodesh HaKodashim, what do we have, of course? The Aron. And there are three kelim in the Mishkan. What do we got? The menorah is on this side. The Shulchan is on this side. I don't know how to draw that. And the Mizbeach Hazav is right over here. So, Vax, Mizbeach. Now, that being the case, it's very interesting to note the placement of this little aliyah over here. Shvi of our Pasha, it says, the Asisa Mizbeach Miktar Ketores. Atsei Shitim Tasoso. This is a command to construct the Mizbeach Hazav. Where should this little parasha be? These 10 psukim. Last week's parasha. Parasha's truma. That's where we're commanded about making all of the kelim. In fact, if you remember last week, our discussion from last week, what's the order of the commands to make the kelim? First the Yarmulke.
The Mishkan.
And then we move out to the Mishkan. We've got the menorah and the Shulchan. And then? And then the Mishkan itself. Followed by the Chatzer, the Mizbeach. So, where would I expect the Mizbeach Hazav to be? I would have expected it towards the beginning of Parshas Truma. Aron, Kaporis, Menorah, Shulchan, Mizbeach. That's what I would have thought. That's a natural placement of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It does not belong at the end of Parshas Tzitzaveh. After we talk about the walls around the Chatzer, and we talk about the Big Day Kahuna, and the inauguration of the Kahuna, which is not even part of the Mishkan itself, the inauguration ceremony of the Kohanim, then we first get to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Completely out of place. It's glaring. What's it doing here? Okay, so this is our main question of the day. Now, if you look in the context here, very interesting. On the one hand, this is based, a lot of what I say today is based on a shiur by Rav Elchanan Samet. Now, if you look right before the Mizbeach, let's read these few psukim here, okay? Right after it talks about the Karban Tamid, so Leo, why don't you pick it up for us? It's Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Mem Gimel. This is Leo Katz reading here. V'no'ati Shama L'vnei Yisrael. What does that mean? V'no'ati Shama. V'no'ati Shama. Unclusive. Rashi explained means I will convene there. I'll meet there with Bnei Yisrael. It means I will speak to them there. Where's the there? In the Mishkan, specifically in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, specifically from the right, the Kaporis area, the Kruvim. Okay, go ahead, Mem Dalid. So I'm going to sanctify the Moed, the Mizbeah, Pasuk Mem Hei, David. So I will dwell within Bnei Yisrael. I will be for them Elohim. V'yod'uki ani Hashem Elokeyem. They will know that I am Hashem, their God, Hashem, Tzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lashachni B'Solcham, that took them out of Egypt to dwell in their midst. Ani Hashem Elokeyem. I am Hashem, their God. Now, this really calls to mind some famous psukim that we may be familiar with. Strike you in any way? What's Vasuli Mikdash Shachati B'Socham? Where is that? The very beginning of Parshas Truma, in the introduction to the construction of the Mishkan. That's the intro. Vasuli Mikdash Shachati B'Socham. And when the Torah commands about the Aron, it gives further detail. What does it say there? It's amazing, almost exactly the same phraseology. Vinoati l'cha shama. Same thing. Vinoati l'cha. Right? Vinoati shama l'vnei Yisrael. Right? It seems like, and then it ends off with ani Hashem Elokeihem. Right? I am Hashem. It seems like this is a sign off. And Hashem commands, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Truma, flip back to the beginning of Parshas Truma. You have it? So what does it start with? So Hashem commands Moshe. Very good. Hashem commands Moshe about the Mishkan. And then every new paragraph is just a continuation. Asisa this, you should make this. And you should make that. And you should make the next thing. And you should make the next thing. This sounds like a conclusion. Right? And thereby will I dwell in Bnei, you know, amongst Bnei Israel, which is the whole point of the Mishkan. Sounds like this bookends to the whole discussion. So if that's the case, very interesting, then Mizbeach Hazav is actually completely out of the, it's like a new thing. Right? Very interesting. On the other hand, look at the next week's parasha. What does it start with? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemur. That's the first Vayidaber Hashem that we have from the beginning of Parshas Shumra all the way until the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. So where does it sound like the new thing begins? Beginning of Kisisa. Until then, it was just a continuation, one long monologue. Vasisa, Vasisa, Vasisa. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. I'll dwell in your midst, but then do this. There's no new dibur. There's no new communication. It's all part of the same communication. So this little parsha is like stuck in the middle. Very interesting. Rav Salman points out in his shir, fascinating ha'ara. We make the parsha break after the Mizbech Azav. You know that in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag used to be for many, many centuries, until a long time ago, but for a long time, the minhag used to be that they broke up the parshas differently, not like we do it. They used to finish the Torah every 3 years, not every year, every 3 years. So the parshas Hashavuot was a lot shorter. So they apparently claims, I don't know how you know this, but he claims they have their parsha ended right before the Mizbeach Azav. Interesting. This little parsha is like sort of nishta in nishta air. Where is it? Is it after? Is like part of it? Is it still connected to the whole long sequence, the whole long monologue about about the construction of the kelim of the mishkan or not? Or is it part of the next section? Very interesting. Not only that. But check out what do we have. It's actually, you know what, let's run through the beginning of Parshas Kisisa and tell me what we have here in Parshas Kisisa. What are the topics of discussion in Parshas Kisisa? That's way later in Parshas Kisisa.
Mountains and Shekel?
First things first, mountains and Shekel. Good. Okay, what comes next?
Kior.
Okay, then what? Good. The Bissamim. What are the Bissamim for? Yeah. How do you make the Ketores? Actually. No. First you have the Shemen and Mishka. Then you have the Ketores. What's the Shemen and Mishka? The oil for anointing. What do we anoint with the oil? We anointed lots of stuff. Kohanim, we anointed the Caleb of the Mikdash. We anointed kings later when we had them. We anointed the kings. This is the special Shemen HaMishkan. Okay. Good. What comes after that? What comes after the Ketores? Number 5 on our list. The builder. Who is the builder? The head builder, Bezalel. Okay, so Hashem appoints Bezalel to head the team of builders. And what comes after Bezalel? Shabbos. Good, and then at the conclusion of Shabbos, if you check out here at the end of Perek Lamed Aleph, the very, very beginning of Sheni in Parshas Kisisa, a fascinating pasuk. Right, go ahead, David.
End of Sheni.
End of Sheni. No, the beginning of, excuse me, the beginning of Sheni. Did I say end of Sheni? The very beginning of Sheni. Okay, so Hashem gives Moshe the Luchos, and this leads into the whole story of, as you said before, the Chet HaEgel. This is obviously a new inyan. This is a completely new inyan. Now that's when we really, really move on to something else. So after the Mizbeach Azav, we have 6 more commands, all of which are related to the Mishkan. They're different than what we had before. These are not talking about the construction of the Mishkan. These are like ancillary, you know, sort of like add-ons, appendix type, you know, add-ons at the end to the inyan of the Mishkan. So essentially, in this context, the Mizbech Azav our question of where it belongs is really a question of, does it belong in the commands to build the Mishkan, or does it belong in this section of appendix? Agav, just a fascinating ha'ara, if it's one of the appendixes, then it turns out that Shabbos is appendix number 7, which is cool. You know? Yeah, it's because we didn't put Mizbeach HaAzav on there. Okay? So that would be... that would not be... that would not be accidental. But the question is, this, the Mizbeach HaZav seems to be in no man's land. This is made even more blatant when you look in other places in Chumash, in the rest of the Sefer. So for example, go back to, I know we're doing a lot of flipping today, go back to where Hashem appoints Bezalel as the guy in charge. Okay, so Bezalel... So it's in Perek Lamed Aleph. So he's going to do everything. He's going to make this. He's going to make that. Look in Pasuk Ches over there. Yehuda, take it away. Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Ches. And read Pasuk Tez. Over here, and Pasuk Zion was the Aron, the Kaporis, Kleya Oel. Over here, the Mizbech Azov takes its rightful place amongst all the Kalim. Not only that, it's in the exact location we would expect, where Aron, Shulchan Menorah, Mizbech HaKetzoris, and then Mizbech HaOla. It's the exact placement that we would expect. And not only that, where does the Mishkan actually get built? Which parsha? Vayakel. That's the main difference between Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakel Pekudeh. Truma Tetzaveh is Hashem saying what needs to be done. Vayakel Pekudeh, they go ahead and they do it. Turn, flip quickly to the end, towards the end of Parashas Vayakel. Shishi of Vayakel. So if you can glance quickly, even before that, at the end of Chamishi, so Bezalel gets to work. It's Perek Lamed Zayin. So Bezalel gets to work. This is after he made the Mishkan. As he pointed out, the order is different when they actually make it. But he makes the Mishkan itself, and then they go to make the Kalim. So which Kli do they make first? The Aron, followed by the Aron slash Kaporis, right? Followed by the Shulchan. Followed by? That's Shishi. The Menorah. Followed by? Mizbeach HaKetoris. Exactly where we would expect. Right? In the proper location. Aron, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Moving out, you have the Menorah and the Shulchan, which are parallel to each other on opposite sides of the Mishkan. Moving a little further out in the Mishkan, but still in the Mishkan, Mizbeach HaKetoris. And then after that, the Mizbeach HaOla. So it works out in Kisisa, it works in Vayakel, just in Terumah Tetzaveh, with regard to the initial command about the Mizbeach HaKetoris, it seems completely out of place. What in the world is going on here? So here's where I open up the floor to your creativity. And what do you guys think? Any suggestions? Why would it be so, just like, it's like, it's, ooh, forgot that one. Let's stick it in there, you know. Right at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. Any thoughts? Okay. Good. Very good, very good. So... one possibility, remember last week we discussed the fact that actually there's a large difference in the way that the Kalim are commanded and the way that they're actually built. Remember that? What's the difference? There's a significant difference in the order. What's the order difference?
The walls go first.
Right, in the Mishkan, the way it was actually done is that the structure was constructed and then the Kalim were constructed, which makes sense. You don't build your dining room set, you don't buy your bedroom set and then build the house. You first build the house and then you buy the furniture. Right? So that's pashut. That's what Bezalel says to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says it doesn't make sense. It's out of order. You don't first build the kli and then you build the house. You first build the house and then you build the kli. You have somewhere to put it. So Moshe says, of course you're right, and that's what they do. So why was it commanded out of order? Why wasn't it commanded in the order it was supposed to be done? So what did we say last week? That when the Mishkan is commanded, it gets right to, it cuts to the chase. What's the point of the Mishkan? The point of the Mishkan, right, is to serve in certain functional ways. We didn't discuss last week, the Rambam says the point of the Mishkan is it's a place of avoda. So it talks about the kelim, which are what you use to do the avoda. The Ramban, we did discuss at length, the Ramban says, what's the point of the Mishkan? Oh yeah, it's a very nice darshanus. Okay, maybe that physical spirit. What do you mean by physical spiritual combination? Hold on a second. What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's a physical place, but it's not just a concession to the weakness.
It's a concession,
it's not.
And not a concession. So what is it? It was meant to be a place of
worship.
Oh, exactly. Good. Hashras Hashchina. This is the focus of Hashem's presence in the world. So then, says Ramban, it makes perfect sense to start with the Aron and the Kaporis. Why? Because that's what Hashem says, V'no atilcha shama. Hashem's voice emanated from right by the Kaporis, right by the Kruvin. That's where it emanated from. That was the focus of Hashras Hashchina in the world. So it makes sense to start with that. That's the whole point. Okay, if we say that, if we take that approach, so then what might this imply about the Mizbeach Hazav? Yeah?
It should be even earlier then?
But it's not. So we would have expected it to be. So it catches our attention. So what should we derive from the fact that it gets left out?
The beginning of the next.
But what would that tell us about the status and purpose of the Mizbeach Hazav? Okay, it might not really be a part of the main point of the Mishkan. It serves some other purpose, right? Whereas the Aron, that is a central focus of what the Mishkan is about, Hashras Hashchina. And the other Kelim, so they are, you know, secondary, subsidiary, you know, functionaries in Hashras Hashchina. The Mizbech Hazav seems to not really have a part in that, yeah?
Seems like all these things are maybe to make the Kohanim and the people, the Kohanim, maybe as instead of something that we use like a Vodah Hashem, just to make us holy and prepared for it.
Okay, so you want to tie it like this, that the Aron, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbech HaOlah, that is for
Hashem,
so to speak. Whatever that means. But the Mizbech HaZav, that is for us.
Yeah, like
how
that.
So?
Like with like the Kiyor and the Shem and the Big Diggy Hun, it's all stuff that we use to make ourselves holy, prepare ourselves. Maybe the Mizbech and the Torah is more that than it's for Hashem.
Okay. So in terms of the association, I think you're 100% correct. The Kiyor, right, that's just something that's a preparatory stage for Avodah. That's not really Avodah. So Mizbeach Hazav, so Leo wants to say, so too, the guitarist doesn't seem to, maybe it doesn't have that same status, full-fledged status of Avodah. So the Sfarno says something similar to you, and combined with what we just talked about before, with the Ramban and the whole Hashras Hashchina thing, he puts the two of them together. He says, the Ketores is a different type of Avodah. Lemaisa, Ketores is Avodah. Only a Kohen can do it. You know, it's something that has to be done every day in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan, the Mikdash. But says the Sfarno, it's a different type of Avodah. And that will answer our question about placement. Most of the Avodahs, the Sfarno says, are in order to bring about Hashras Hashchina. The menorah, the shulchan, this is in order to bring about Hashras Hashchina. That's something you do to prepare for an important Abdullah's important guest would come, so you'd already have the bread there, you'd already have it, everything would be prepared. So this is in order to bring Hashras Hashchina, a completely different realm obviously, but in order to bring about Hashras Hashchina. The Mizbeach, the Ketores, is not for that purpose at all. The Ketores is like already once he's there, so this is a nice thing to do. It used to be common in the time of the Gemara that if you had an important guest, an important meal, or whatever you have, so then you might, you know, sort of after the meal, you might like burn incense in order to Mugmar was called. So in order to go ahead and to, I don't know, it was like a nice way to end off. So says the Sparno, maybe the avoda of the Ketores is different than all other avodas. And the point of it is not to bring about Ashras HaShechina, it's already like a sign of kavod once the Shechina is already there. So if that's the case, so then we understand. The Torah presents it in terms of what's the point. The point is Ashras HaShechina, so you have the Aron. Yeah, and then you have the place of the Aron, that's the Mishkan. And you have the people who are going to bring about Ashras HaShechina. Who's that? The Kohanim. And then the point of the Ketores is after there's Ashras HaShechina already. That's an afterthought because it's after there's Ashras HaShechina. So that would explain the placement of the whole Indian of the Ketores. Yeah.
So then do those six things are also like once we have the Shechina?
It's not necessarily once we have the Shechina, but they are, again, they're ancillary.
So why is that the beginning of those six? Or according to Sparno, it's not. It's the end of those three.
Well, it doesn't have to be, and it's once we put it in the appendix section, not each appendix has to be thematically connected to all the other ones. Right? It's just the stuff that's not part of the main, you know, body. That's basically what we'll look, alternatively you could say maybe it's not part of these six other things. It's not part of the appendix section. It's something that you need to do in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. It is avodah. It is avodah HaMikdash. It's just a different type of avodah. And that's why it's commanded later. Even though it was built at the same time. That's why it's commanded later. That could be the pshat. There are those who claim a little differently. So according to the Meshech Chachma, it's not that the Ketores has a different status, but the Mizbeach HaKetores has a different status. Now, whereas the Halal, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that for other avodas, you need to have that kli in order to do the avoda. You can't light the neros on the menorah without a menorah. There's no such thing as, so you'll just stick them on the ground and light them. That's not the avoda. The avoda is the neros in the menorah. You cannot bring korbanos without a mizbeach. You need a mizbeach. You can't have zrikas adam on the ground where the mizbeach could be. But if you don't have the Mizbeach HaKetores, that's not me'akev, the avod of the Ketores. Interestingly enough. If for some reason the Mizbeach wouldn't be there, you could still, okay, so you put it down where the Mizbeach HaKetores would be. In fact, there is one time in the year where we do the Ketores, l'chad chilo, not on the Mizbeach HaKetores. When's that? Where do we do it? Exactly. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right there, in between the Badim of the Aron, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur does a Ketores. It's not on the Mizbeach HaKetores. The Mizbeach HaKetores doesn't serve the same important function as the other Kelim. So it may not be that the Avodas HaKetores is kind of like secondary. No, the Avodas HaKetores may be central, but the Mizbeach HaKetores is only secondary. Right? So maybe that would explain why it comes later. You could view it from the completely opposite perspective. What we said until now is that the Ketores has a kind of secondary function. Right? It's not either because the Mizbeach HaKetores has a secondary function, but the Avodas HaKetores is primary. Or even the Avodas HaKetores, as Sparno said, may only play like a backup role. You can view it the exact opposite. That what? It's going to be like a whole different Mahalach. Yeah, I'm listening. If it's not a secondary role, so what is it? Super primary! Maybe that would be why it's set apart. Super primary! Right? So maybe we start off with the Aron, because that's the place of Ashras HaShechina. But in terms of Avoda, the Avoda section is building up to the Mizbeach HaKetores. Maybe that's like the ultimate Avoda. In fact, it's very significant that it's right across from the Aron. Right? You have the Aron, and parallel to the Aron, on the other side of the Mishkan, is the Mizbeach HaKetores. And the Shulchan and the Menorah are off to the side. They're in between them, but they're off to the side. In fact, the Ibn Ezra points out, what's the height? Check out in our parasha. What's the height of the Mizbeach HaKetores? How high? I don't think so. Well, what is the height? You tell me. What's the height?
Two amos.
And what's the height of everything else, all the other kelim back in Truma? The shulchan, the menorah.
The aron.
Everything is an ama and a half. Except that the aron, what does the aron have? It has the ketores, it has the kaporis on top. The kruvim. It's very interesting. It's like even the physical dimensions of the kelim sort of emphasize the mizbeach hazahav and the aron. Whereas the shulchan and the menorah are not as central, not as primary. So maybe that could be a reason why we're building up, in terms of the avoda perspective, we're building up towards this. Why should that be? Why should it have a more? So that the Ibn Ezra doesn't explain. So I sort of Hirsch as the following explanation. He says, listen, when it comes to the mizbeach ha'ola, let's say, you're bringing karbanos, you're taking something which is so physical and so base, and you're directing it in the direction of avodas Hashem. You're taking an animal and you're saying, this animal is going to be used as a, it's going to be directed towards karbanos. When it comes to ketores, ketores is something that's much less, it's much smell, it basically creates a fragrance. Fragrance is the, I don't know what to call it exactly, it's not a thing per se, it's something which is a physical, you can sense it physically, but it's the most sort of spiritual type of physicality. Right? It doesn't have even a form, it doesn't have a body, but you can sense it. Right? So says the verse, that's where the avoda in the mikdash leads to. It leads to not just that we operate in our regular physical olam hazeh categories, but we're moving in the direction of avodas Hashem. The point is to take the physical, to take the spices, and to make them kadosh, as kadosh as possible, as ruchani as possible. Not that we're trying to not be physical at all. We're trying to take olam hazeh and turn it into ruchnius, to have a ruchani olam hazeh, a ruchani physicality. So that's what the ketores represents. It's the most spiritual type of physicality that you can that exists in the world. So okay, so maybe the commands start with the aron. That's the place of Ashuras Hashchina. But maybe it's sort of like the Ramban and the Rambam. The Rambam says the mikdash, the point of the mikdash is to serve as a place of avoda. The Ramban says the point of it is Ashuras Hashchina. So we're taking both. We're saying Ashuras Hashchina starts with the aron. That's why the aron is first. But once you have Ashuras Hashchina, what does that require? A response on our part. What's the response? Avoda. The response that it requires of us is avoda. So in that sense, the commands build up to a crescendo. And what's the crescendo? What's the apex? What's the highest point? That's the ketores. The exact opposite approach of the sfarno. Right? That could be another mahalach. Just one final possibility. Like a fourth possibility, but really like a third branch. With one branch was what's the sort of like secondary significance. Another totally different track is that lehefek, it builds up to the ketores because the ketores is primary. Here's sort of a middle of the road approach, and this was a fascinating approach, and it's mentioned by Rav Samet. So if you look, for example, turn to Vayikra Tes Zayin Pasuk Beis. This is discussing the Kohen Gadol, the avod of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay, Pasuk Beis, Leo, take it away. Okay, he says Hashem says to Aaron, you can't just go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ki be'anon ira'el ha-kaporis, because I will appear, my presence will appear on the kaporis in a cloud. What's the cloud we're talking about here? We know that in general, the presence of Hashem in Chumash is represented by a cloud. Right? Hashem appears on Har Sinai in the form, but under cloud cover, so to speak. Right? There's a cloud on Har Sinai that descends on Har Sinai, and then you know that Hashem is there. By the Mishkan, what's on the top of the Mishkan at all times? A cloud. That's why Hashem appears in a cloud. Says Rav Sam, unbelievable. That's when Hashem initiates the contact. When man initiates the contact, so man provides the cloud. What's the cloud? The Ketores. The cloud is the Ketores. Right? The Kohen Gadol goes in there, and the Mishnah emphasizes. He does the Ketores. The whole Kodesh HaKadoshim fills with smoke. That's the cloud cover. When man initiates the contact, so man provides the cloud. It's an unbelievable idea, which I think really has many different ramifications and branches. Man has the power, not only the power, but the responsibility to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Man brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into the world. Agav, that's part of what we do when we learn. Hashem and the Torah are one. What does that mean? So I mentioned this before, but Torah is Ritzon Hashem. Torah is godliness, so to speak. It's God expressed in the terms of Olam Hazeh. When a person is able to go ahead and to think Torah, so you're bringing Kadosh Baruch Hu into your mind. That brings him into the world. We speak of that Torah, that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. We say Kadosh, 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 we say Kedusha. We talk about Hashem, that brings him into the world. In this case, the Kohen Gadol is the one, on Yom Kippur, he's initiating the contact. He provides the Anan. That Anan, that is the place of God's presence. And that's what God appears in under cloud cover. So that being the case, maybe on a lower scale, that's true every day in the Mikdash. The Avodas HaKetores is what we do. It is part of the Asharas HaShekhinah. But it's a little bit different. It's not what we do in order to merit Asharas HaShekhinah. We're sort of like acting as God's agent. This is something that, as we've set it up, in order to have Asharas HaShekhinah, that's the Arun as it is in the Menorah and the Shulchan, we set it up, and then in order to initiate that, we have to do the Ketores. So that being the case, that would explain again why the Ketores is set apart. It's not part of what we do in order to enable Asharas HaShekhinah. This is the initiation of the Asharas HaShekhinah. And the Asharas HaShekhinah is initiated every day. Perhaps that's why the Mishkan sort of leads up, the commands, the Tzivui HaMishkan, leads up to the highlight of the Ketores, because that is not just the preparation, but the initiation of the Asharas HaShekhinah itself. Okay, Yashar Koach, have a wonderful rest of the day.